Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Very pleased today to have two wonderful representatives from Independence Health System. Dr. Jim Addisey is the medical director for the cardiovascular service line, and Denise Addis is the vice president of the cardiovascular service line. Welcome to the show to both of you.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.
Well, we're excited to talk to you because you're kicking off Heart Month for us here on Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. We thought you would be the perfect guest to talk all about that. So we'll start with you, Dr. Addisey. I'm sure probably everyone in the community listening has heard that name or met you in one way or another because you've been here for, I believe, most of your career. Would you take us through where you grew up, your education, and then your work here in Westmoreland County?
Yeah, I was actually, I'm a native Westmoreland County person. I was born in Westmoreland Hospital, was raised here, went to Greensburg-Salem High School, went to undergraduate at Penn State, University Park. I went out of the country to med school at Ross University, came back. I did my clinical training in Detroit, Michigan, including my residency at what's called St. John Ascension now, one of the bigger health systems in the Detroit area. Did my first year of cardiology fellowship there, and then came back with the plans on moving back to Western Pennsylvania and completed my fellowship at the Western Pennsylvania Hospital. When I initially finished my fellowship training, I went to Morgantown and Fairmont and practiced there as a competition to WVU at the hospital across the street that I belonged to, what's called Morgantown Internal Medicine Group, which was a multi-specialty group. When the opportunity arose to, for me to come back to my hometown, I had two small children and thought it would be nice to be able to come back to where there's a lot of friends and family. And I came back to Greensburg and moved back here in 1998. And I've been here at Westmoreland Hospital, then became Exela Health and now Independence Health System since that time.
Wow.
So it's been a nice journey to come back to my hometown. And I've had the privilege and honor of taking care of many of the people that I knew growing up, some of my own teachers from high school, and so a lot of the people that my family and friends all knew. So it's been a great opportunity.
It sure has. I mean, I have to think as a parent how proud your parents must have been for you to come back to Westmoreland County as a cardiologist and spend your life here. Your kids, too, are they still around or did they expand their horizons?
Well, they expanded their horizons. They initially moved out, but I think because of they actually during COVID, because they were both they both have masters in IT. They moved to Florida, but I think they've both gotten a little homesick. So the plans, I think, long term are to come back home. So that especially now that it looks like work is going to be more of a hybrid for them, where they're going to have to see people face to face and not just work off their computers. But they both had great careers so far and financially have done very well. But as they always say, though, even when the kids are gone, they're never really gone.
No, they're never really gone. But, you know, I think so many children in Westmoreland County are thankful for you for probably saving a parent, a relative, a loved one, a friend. Let's talk a little bit about your work as a cardiologist.
Well, as a cardiologist, when I initially came back, I was an interventional cardiologist. And basically, Dr. Juan Shaheen and myself were the two main interventional guys for the county for a long period of time. There were some other doctors that were here, but they practice here in Pittsburgh. Dr. Shaheen and myself were basically here. So that means basically every other night, every other weekend, you were sitting here taking care of people having heart attacks in the cath lab.
Wow.
Now that we've expanded the program and hired newer people, I've settled back into more of an administrative role. I still have the same work hours that I had, plus the additional administrative hours that I have to put in. So as I see people in the office, I'm involved with non-invasive imaging, and also involved with a lot of administrative tasks with Denise, as I mentioned earlier.
Right. I mean, a lot of technology is constantly changing protocols, you know, quality metrics, all of those things. So I'm sure you keep very, very busy. But, you know, brag about the cath lab at Independence, the heart care at Independence. I know we're going to get into some of the recent awards, but, tell people why they're so blessed to have this local care.
Westmoreland County is kind of a unique area. So, you know, there's a couple things that make that happen as far as cardiovascular care. And I'll speak a little bit later about some of the talent that we happen to have here. But right now, because of, for instance, we have some local ambulance services that have done extremely well. We have mutual aid ambulance, which, for instance, is the third largest ambulance service in the state of Pennsylvania, which is a lot of people don't realize. They basically cover Westmoreland County. And some of the other ambulance services that are working here regionally have been able to work out protocols with our health system. So I always say this, for instance, if people know where the little town of Rector is, you could have a heart attack in Rector and you can actually be picked up by the ambulance people, have an EKG done in your home, have the ER and the cath lab notified, and we're waiting for you. When you show up at the cath lab, so we can immediately get that artery open when you're having a heart attack. And we could probably have that happen quicker, despite the distance from Westmoreland Hospital, quicker than you can if you were in some of the areas in Pittsburgh itself, just because the systems worked out so well. So once again, if we weren't here, then the idea would, how would we transfer people to Pittsburgh to get this care? And it would certainly take a lot more time, and time is heart muscle, as they always talk about, which is so important. As far as what we're doing now, basically, for the most part, both the electrical heart part, which is electrophysiology, and the structural heart part, which is coronary disease and valvular disease, you can have everything done here, a large part because of our tremendous surgical program, but because of our interventional cardiologists, everything done here, except for maybe heart transplant. So the people in Westmoreland County and the surrounding counties are extremely fortunate to have this quality of program here.
Oh, it's just fantastic. Great stuff, great information, especially about the coordination with the local ambulance services. I know that's a tremendous value to Westmoreland County. Also on the line today is Denise Addis. She's the Vice President of Cardiovascular, the entire service line. Denise, let's talk about your career, where you grew up, your education. I know your trade. I know all of the work that you've done from working with you over the years, but why don't you tell people at home?
So thank you, Jen. I'm Denise Addis. I'm the Vice President for the Cardiovascular Service Line. And I grew up in export. That's why I went to Franklin Regional, and I went to Villa Maria College in Erie, which is now part of Gannon University, to become a nurse. I started my career here at Westmoreland as a graduate nurse a long time ago. I've been here for a very long time, 41 years to be exact. Have had a variety of jobs, including diabetic educator, nursing quality coordinator. 35 years of my career was spent as the director slash chief quality officer for Exela Health, and then moved into the vice president role 3 years ago, right in the middle of COVID.
Yeah, right in the middle of COVID. That was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I also went to graduate school at Pitt for my master's.
Wonderful. And they're blessed to have you, both of you, sort of Westmoreland natives, which is great in terms of caring about the hospital and caring about the quality of care that's there. I think it's so important. I know you have some good stuff to discuss with us about the quality of care there. In fact, why don't we talk about the most recent awards?
I'd like to start talking about our cardiac surgical program.
Sure.
So HealthGrades is an organization that basically looks at Medicare data and some of the other larger insurance company data. So they evaluate the types of procedures each health system does. and looks at the acuity of the procedures on the type of patients they take care of. HealthGrades looks at 4,600 programs across the United States. Our cardiac surgical program, as it stands today, with Dr. Mike Cooley, Dr. Hiro Sakui, and Dr. Mitsu Ogawa, the three heart surgeons we have, actually have been rated in the top 50 programs in the United States. Now, when you think about all the heart surgery programs that are done throughout this country, including the Mayo Clinics, the Cleveland Clinics, and those types of places, we're ranked up there in that same category with them. HealthGrades also has evaluated our cardiac, not just surgical program, but our cardiology program. And HealthGrades rated our cardiology program in the top 100 programs in the United States. 12 of those programs are in Pennsylvania, and only two of those programs are in Western Pennsylvania, and we happen to be one of those. And once again, that's based on the type of patients you take care of, the outcomes these patients have, length of stay, and how well these patients do when they leave and our follow-up care after. We're doing very well nationally as far as heart failure, myocardial infarctions, and now we're stepping into the realm where we're doing and taking care of people with structural heart disease. So that's a great boon to the people of Westmoreland County because of what we could do here.
Denise, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I would just add for the Society of Thoracic Surgery, which also grades our cardiac and our thoracic program, we are 3 stars out of 3 stars. That's 2% of hospitals are 3 stars across the country. And again, that's ranked very much for CT surgery as it relates to mortality, complications, morbidity, and length of stay and the factors and quality scores that Jim mentioned. But that's only because of the talent that we have here in the organization that we're able to do that and the complexity of the cases that we're able to do. And I would add that for thoracic surgery, we are also 3 top stars for lung resection.
Wow. Let's drill down on that a little bit, because I'm not sure everybody understands, for instance, the length of stay. Do you want to explain that, Denise?
Sure. So patients, obviously, nobody wants to be in the hospital. Everybody wants to come in, get the procedure, and go home. So we work very hard to make sure that patients only stay in the hospital for a period of time that it's a benefit to them, because being in a hospital has its risk associated with it. And we want patients to have the procedure, quickly go home, and go home and recover in a setting that's much more appropriate in their home or in another lower level of care, where they can have much more social interactions and get up and move around and have not all of the ins and outs and rest, frankly, because rest is not something you get in the hospital. So we work very hard to keep reducing our length of stay. Very much remember when an open heart patient would stay 2 weeks plus. That was just a normal length of stay. Now our goal is 5 days, if that. And some of these patients with structural heart go home same day or if not next day.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, the level of care. And then, but there's so much follow-up care that goes with that too, right? I mean, there's constant monitoring and checkup and things mm-hmm. like that.
Correct. These patients that get discharged after open heart surgery certainly get hooked up with the heart failure team also just to be an educational component. And then they all have home care. And the home care includes cardiac rehab follow-up, as well as persistent and consistent follow-up with our surgical team. We've recently implemented a product called Loop, which is a electronic online kind of platform where patients can at any time, one, be educated on their disease and what to do to prevent future complications or prepare for surgery, but also they can touch base electronically back with a navigator. So if they're having questions about pain or wounds or how they're in general feeling, they can send us an electronic message as well as call the office, which has just added another way for us to reach out to our patients to stay connected.
And Dr. Addisi, why don't you talk about clinical outcomes? What are some of the key indicators with clinical outcomes that you measure with something like this?
There's several areas we look at. One is, you know, readmissions after the patient has their illness or their procedure done. We look and see if the patient, that gives us an idea if the length of stay was appropriate, for instance. Our heart failure patients, you know, we have them tracked and we're very concerned about making sure that they're seen within 5 to 7 days. And it's been shown statistically with a lot of illnesses, but a lot of cardiac conditions, that if they at least have a touch point with their doctors in the first 5 to 7 days, it lowers the likelihood they're going to get readmitted. Our heart surgical program, you know, these people go to cardiac rehab as our stent patients do. And the cardiac rehab people are in constant contact with the main cardiologists that take care of the patients. So we get updates all the time. If the patient's heart rate, blood pressure, exercise capacity, oxygenation, any of those issues are at risk or are having problems, we're notified right away so that we can institute the appropriate care to make sure the patient doesn't have to be readmitted to the hospital, can get back into their normal lives in society. So it's the follow-up in a lot of ways is almost as important, if not in some ways more important than the actual procedure itself.
And Jen, I would just comment that the need for patients to be seen within 5 to 7 days after discharge is really important. Patients, particularly when they have surgery and are going to be seen by their surgeon in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, depending on the procedure, hesitate to go in there when they're feeling okay. Mm-hmm. But they really need that follow-up. As Jim mentioned, the statistics around reducing readmissions, it also prevents infections. It also improves quality of life because we can catch those things sooner than later and not wait till they have an infection, not wait till they aren't feeling well, not make sure that there weren't gaps in care that occurred at the point of discharge if they get seen timely.
Dr. Jim Addisey is the medical director for the cardiovascular service line at Independence Health System in the Southern Market. And the vice president of the cardiovascular service line is Denise Addis. They're both on the line today. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, talking today with Dr. Jim Addisey and Vice President of Cardiovascular Service Line, Denise Addis. They are running the Cardiovascular Service Line and the Southern Market of Independence Health System, both natives to Westmoreland County and now in senior leadership roles to make sure the quality of heart care available to people in Westmoreland County is top notch. You know, I know we're never going to stop talking about COVID, right? I mean, and no matter how many years go by, it probably has to be one of the single most monumental times in your careers, you know, facing challenges that you've never faced before. But I remember reading an article back when it was Accela Health before Independence Health System talking about how patients were actually sicker coming to you during and sort of after COVID because they delayed their medical care so long. Is that right, Dr. Addisey?
Yeah, that was a problem. And that was a problem across the United States. One of the issues that we had was from a nursing standpoint. So a lot of nurses when COVID, especially in the early part when people really didn't know what COVID was about, there were some nurses that were experienced that decided that they were going to retire early because of the issues with COVID and worries of exposure, I would guess. There was also a large group of nurses that were in training that were not ready to start working. So there was a huge nursing shortage. Because of that, there were people that as we were trying the best we could to keep them out of the hospital for any lengthy period of time, but also take the most critical people and get their care done, that we didn't actually have the staff to take care of them. And we didn't know how to do that early on in COVID without exposing them to unnecessary risks because of COVID. So it was an issue. And then once we learned how to get a better handle on COVID, then just trying to catch up with the staffing issues became very difficult. And we still are dealing with that problem because if you think about it, once you have a large group of people retire, and then there was a large group of the nursing folks that ended up doing the travel nursing thing, just to keep the day-to-day staff up was difficult. So there were people that had to have their procedures on hold because there just wasn't enough people to take care of them, not just from the doctor standpoint, but from the other ancillary staff. So it was a problem. So many of the people in the last couple of years we've taken care of actually have been sicker. But that is a, you know, feather in our cap because mm-hmm. of the type of health grades information and the rankings that we've had, which has really been great.
It's excellent. And staffing continues to be an issue, I think, all over the country, all over the world, really. I mean, you know, sort of along those lines, I mean, the restaurants in my community in North Huntingdon Township close early now because there's no one to staff them. And so, you know, you're working against that. And then you're also trying to continue to keep up those quality metrics, which you have. And then the advances in medicine, like with aortic stenosis. Would one of you like to talk about aortic stenosis?
Yeah, aortic stenosis is a problem that we generally have two groups of people that we see. There are some people that are born with abnormal heart valves, and as the valve, you know, just the wear and tear, that starts to get calcified as you get older. These people that are born with the abnormal valves generally will show up with aortic stenosis, where if you think about a normal aortic valve, the opening of the aortic valve that lets the blood out of the heart to the rest of the body should be about the size of a half a dollar. Now, when these people start to get ill, the thing narrows down because of the excessive calcium and the rigidity of the valve to the way it's smaller than a head of a pencil. So the heart muscle has to work about as far as pushing blood through that smaller hole. So you have the genetic group there, and then you have the senile calcific aortic stenosis, and senile meaning just that they're older. These people show up in their 70s and 80s. They have normal valves, but same thing, because of the wear and tear, these valves get calcified and become stenotic. This was generally an issue that had to be treated with open heart surgery at one time. And it's still, in many cases, if there's other problems that require open heart surgery, we do it that way. But now in the last decade, we've been able to actually treat these valves and put a brand new heart valve in with a catheter. So it's called a TAVR. And so basically we evaluate this patient, we get CAT scans to measure their entire arterial tree to make sure that we can deliver the device. And they're brought in, they actually have this put in with the combination work between an interventional cardiologist and a heart surgeon, both in the room at the same time. And this valve is put in generally from a catheter from the leg, opened up. Patients are then held here overnight, evaluated the next day. And most of these patients go home in the next 24 to 48 hours. And these are some of the people that are extremely ill, that literally can walk out of the hospital with a brand new heart valve without having their chest opened up. So incredible technology.
Wow. Denise, that structural heart work, the MitraClip, all of these are advances in medicine.
Absolutely. And we were so very happy that we could offer them in our community. Up until 2021, we were having to send those cases out, and we're now able to keep those patients here in their community. Again, overnight procedures in many cases. And we've actually been able to develop programs so that they have a touch point. We have a nurse navigator who manages those patients through their journey of clinical workup pre-op, and then managing and assessing and evaluating them post-op, along with this physician who's done the procedure to make sure it's doing what it's supposed to do and that their quality of life is improving.
Amazing. Let's talk about your physicians. I know Dr. Addisi wanted to talk a little bit about the quality physicians you've been able to recruit to the community.
So we just, Dr. Nevin Baker, Dr. Juan Shaheen, and Dr. Vinod Kadagi have been the three interventional cardiologists that will be involved with this program, with the TAVR, the structural heart program. Recently, we hired Dr. Neeraj Shah, who was the head of structural heart disease for East Carolina University. We hired him. He just started here within the last month, and he's going to be advancing our structural heart program even further. So he was instrumental in starting up East Carolina University's MitraClip program. Now, what a MitraClip is same thing, that you have some people that are extremely ill that have severe leaks in their mitral valve. And the mitral valve is what basically is the valve that transitions oxygenated blood from the lungs through the left upper chamber of the left atrium to the left ventricle so it can be ejected out of the heart. When this valve becomes incompetent or leaks, a lot of the blood with each heartbeat squirts backwards up towards the lungs again. And eventually it causes the heart to enlarge and eventually fail. Now, there are some people where they don't have other issues, or even some of the sickest hearts where they may not be great candidates for surgery because you're not sure how well they'll get through it. This MitraClip program, you can actually take a clip and actually clip the middle of the two leaflets of the mitral valve so you can decrease or diminish the leak. And it, same thing from a quality of life standpoint, but even for prognosis, it helps these patients.
Amazing. And then, Denise, you were saying these are the kinds of things that a few years ago you weren't able to do in Greensburg.
That's correct. Until, you know, we started our TAVR program in 2021. We've done our 300th TAVR most recently in December. And this is a program that has grown by 30% over the last 12 months. So there are a lot of patients out there. You know, some people say aortic stenosis is like a cancer of the heart, right? And it's a disease that needs to be treated quickly and rapidly and not watched and observed. And so getting into the clinic, being seen by our surgeon and interventional cardiologist, which we do together in an office visit, is really important so that the patients get in the right treatment plan. As Jim said, there are some patients that do require surgery and that is the best option instead of a TAVR, sometimes based on their age and their clinical condition. But there are patients that would have not been able or been eligible for surgery that are now getting TAVRs and getting a lot of quality back life into their life, able to go to the mall, walk, participate in family activities, and do what they normally did socially, as well as return to work.
Yeah, Jen, I have, you know, just to emphasize that point. So, for instance, I had an elderly lady that I take care of that I saw just a couple months ago who was literally having trouble walking down the hallway because of her valve, because of extreme shortness of breath and basically heart failure. She had her TAVR done, and a few months later, after rehabbing and getting her strength built back up, she's asking me if it's okay if she joins a gym.
Yeah, that's great. So you're pleased with that outcome, aren't you?
You got it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Stories too, where patients just have been able to change your life because, again, they would not have been, it would have been a poor surgical candidate, but because we can do this non-invasively or invasively, but less without cracking their chest, frankly, they're able to return to have a higher quality of life.
No question. Totally different procedure now, totally different outcome. We have about a minute left. Denise, would you be able to tell us, or Dr. Addisi, the different locations where services are offered here? And these are Westmoreland County listeners. So can you take us through the different locations and maybe a number to call if someone needs a cardiologist?
So we have several offices. We have an office in Murraysville. We have an office in Norwin. We have an office now in Connellsville, which is a brand new location for us. We used to work out of a smaller, older office, but a brand new medical mall, I will call it, in the Connellsville area that we are very excited to be able to offer that community. We have an office at Frick and Hospital, Excella Square at Latrobe, and then here in Greensburg. We also have an office one day a week in Blairsville, and we have most recently extended our services up to the Johnstown area. We do have our electrophysiologist going up there one day a month so that we can again provide care to those services that don't have electrophysiology in that community at this point.
So plenty of locations, plenty of access, lots of offerings from some incredible staff members and physicians. You can visit www.independencehealth.org to find out more about the heart program at Independence Health. Dr. Addisi, Denise, thank you both very much for being on Westmoreland Community Connections today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you all for listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy.